There are great conversations, there are easy conversations, and there are hard conversations. There are even courageous conversations, and sometimes you have to have them. Carmen Hurwitz is a senior HR consultant with Workplace Plus. Carmen, what is a courageous conversation?
It's a conversation that is really engaging an individual to have a discussion about the heart of the matter, what's really going on. If there's an issue in the workplace, it's about being brave and not skirting around the undiscussable issues. It's about jumping in and talking about things that might make you uncomfortable or make you want to run away from talking about them.
I like that, undiscussables. What are some undiscussables?
Some of the undiscussables that I often see in workplaces are around a relationship with either a colleague or a senior manager where people feel disempowered. They might feel that their voice is not heard in a meeting, or they may feel that they're not valued. And it's often very hard to have that conversation with someone else senior within your organisation. But if you don't have it, it becomes a layer upon layer of you feeling you don't have a voice or you're not actually valued, when that might not be the case.
Yes, I can imagine how hard it would be to do this. The trouble with someone being honest, especially if they're in a subordinate position, is that we're often not honest because we're human. Humans aren't always honest. In fact, I think we tell some astonishing number of small white lies every day.
Yes, I agree. You know, when you think about a courageous conversation, the direct opposite to that is avoidance. I mean, that comes with a whole lot of risks for individuals and an organisation. If you're going to avoid the big issues, it is only going to eventually implode. There's no other way for it. But I think the biggest thing holding people back from having a courageous conversation, you're right, is fear. It's fear of not being liked. It's fear of upsetting someone. It's fear of being rejected. I think one of the greatest fears is a fear of being misunderstood. What if I can't bring together this conversation to truly explain what I mean and what my intentions are? You know, you don't want to jeopardize a really important relationship.
Are there workplaces where avoidance happens all the time, where that's sort of embedded in the culture?
Absolutely. I think you've got to role model behaviour and role model courageous conversations yourself if you want your team to actually come forward and say, well, actually, there is something really important I want to talk to you about, and it is going to be a difficult conversation and I am really nervous, but can we give it a go? Can I talk to you from the heart?
Actually, I was about to say, because you can't just kind of throw it out there, can you? You can't just kind of whack it on the table and say, here it is. You've got to find a way of getting into it.
Absolutely. And I think that's why a lot of clients that we've engaged with have come to this understanding that their staff need the tools to have a courageous conversation, because they have these dysfunctional teams that have not been having the courageous conversation, and they've maybe not been having any productive conversation about important matters. They've been in an absolute situation of avoidance. So from a continuous improvement perspective, they've engaged us to do some training on courageous conversations. And that is about giving people tools. So how do you plan to have a courageous conversation? You're right. You don't just jump in, because you need to be really clear about what it is that you want to say. And you've got to think about the other person, how they're going to take that and prepare for that.
See, it's relatively easy to imagine how, I suppose, a workplace brings in your organisation to kind of do this for them, to be that third party who doesn't have skin in the game and can be seen to be a kind of trusted third party. That is relatively easy to imagine. It's harder to imagine how you kind of leave them in a situation where they can do it themselves.
I think one of the greatest things about, you're right, an external party coming in is, it is the organisation, yes, through an external party, but it's inviting people to have that courageous conversation. So that's often the first step. An organisation, whether it's through an HR department or through senior management, saying, we invite you to have this conversation. That is what will often make the difference for people actually taking that first step to actually plan for the conversation and having that first conversation. But it's not something you can just do once and then walk away from. It really does have to become embedded in the culture, and a culture of safety for people to talk openly about issues that arise.
I suppose I'm saying, because one of the things that you offer is mediation, and I suppose there are real advantages to mediation. I'll get you to go through them in a moment, but there is a difference between you being in there, you're an expert, you can get this done, whereas when you've left, there is no completely objective, trusted third party, is there?
Mm. Yes, certainly when we go in as an external mediator, we're there to show them how to do it. So when we have our one-on-ones before we embark on the mediation, or I often like to refer to it as a facilitated discussion, I have a one-on-one discussion with each party, and part of that is helping them prepare how they're going to have that courageous conversation. So once you've done it once, it is a matter of practice. It is a matter of working out how you formulate the things that you want to say and how you assure that you're clear about your message and your intention for having that discussion. And then, yes, I'm there when the parties come together to ask the leading questions and to ensure that everyone is clear about what has been communicated so that there are no miscommunications. But I think it's definitely something that can be practiced and developed.
All right. So when you go in to start this process, what are you able to give them that they haven't had so far?
Well, I'm able to give them an external person to really talk through the matters that are important to them and to help them peel away the layers. So often that first one-on-one discussion can start and it can seem quite transactional. These are the transactional issues that they're having in the workplace. But by asking some tougher questions from myself as the facilitator, it helps them kind of peel back the layers and get to, well, what is really happening? What is actually at the heart of this conflict? And how long has it been going? And often it might be, I haven't had a voice in a team meeting. But if you track back, you can often find that it is actually about a particular situation where a person felt they were disrespected or that they weren't valued. So if you can get to the heart of that matter, the transactional issues will continue or may continue to occur if they don't actually deal with that big issue. So that's the undiscussable. That's what both parties, or at least one party, has been avoiding, saying out loud and giving the other person an opportunity to respond.
So it starts with making an explicitly safe space to have that honest conversation.
Absolutely. And confidentiality is a huge factor why a lot of people won't even embark on the conversation. They're worried that someone will share the hardest thing for them to communicate with other people. So it is about both parties voluntarily attending that discussion and that both parties 100% commit to confidentiality so that it is a safe platform.
What you were saying before, Carmen, and as you said it, I thought, of course this can happen. Somebody saying they're not heard at meetings, but this may go back to one incident at one meeting, perhaps some time ago. Nobody else even noticed this, you can really imagine. And they know why this person never seems to make a contribution at meetings. They're sitting there thinking, well, I can't make a contribution because of... And it's because it's become this big thing in their heads. God, we've all done it.
That's right. And look, I've sat in mediation situations where we've got to the heart of the matter and the person that's hearing this for the very first time after possibly, you know, up to 12 months or 18 months of conflict or resistance or whatever emotions and feelings they're experiencing in the workplace say, oh my gosh, on that particular day, this is what was happening for me. I wish that we talked about it then and there because it would have been resolved. You know, there are some absolute light bulb moments where you realise that this could have been resolved so much earlier and there would have been more productivity. The relationship would have continued to strengthen from that discussion rather than break down.
Because when that sort of thing happens, certainly in my own experience when I've observed this around me, what you get is passive aggression a lot of the time.
Absolutely. I mean, look, I've seen relationships absolutely flourish from having the courageous conversation, whether it's within a mediation forum where there is a facilitator there to help them have that conversation, or it's after a training session. It can develop so much trust between two parties because you realise I can be vulnerable, I can share something very important to me, and I'm going to be heard. So it really takes that working relationship to a whole nother level.
So Carmen, is the best outcome when you're leaving an organisation, having gone in and done this, is it getting it to the stage where essentially any two people can have these courageous conversations? Or are you leaving in place somebody who's more or less a trained facilitator who can kind of do a bit of what you do?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's definitely a balance. Ideally, I think in a perfect world, it would be A, that you leave knowing that should an issue arise, the person's going to have the tools to plan, to think about what they're going to say, to ensure what their intention is, and then, yes, ask that person for a confidential conversation. But on the flip side, people also need to feel safe that if they embark on a courageous conversation and it's not going according to plan, there is a strategy in place. That there is a way to say, hang on a second, can we take a break? Can we get someone else that's either a senior manager or ideally someone in human resources to step in and help us have this conversation?
Well, it does sound like a really good approach. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Carmen Hurwitz is with HR consultancy Workplace Plus.